Right, Colm, thanks for jumping back on with us. You said you're busy there, just in our off your discussion there. But how is it throughout the League Cup campaign there in the pre-season? How is your, I guess, your sanity? How's your sanity at this moment in time?
Sanity, geez, oh. listen, it's not too bad. I feel like most of my work is done. And now it's up to kind of the players and stuff. It's gonna calm down. There's a lot of stuff gonna calm down, and it's now getting in more of a routine, hopefully, over the once the season starts, it's then gonna become quite calm. Training games, and then hopefully not too many surprises and all that kind of stuff along the way. But listen, it's been a mental few weeks. I really hope that this time next year there won't be, and I'm pretty confident it won't be the same turnaround in terms of players incoming, outgoing, the surprise of the League Cup, all these things. Like, it's been pretty mental. The supporters' trust has been new as well. So yeah, it's been pretty full on. But listen, I'm delighted with what we've done so far, as is the gaffer and the club ultimately. So yeah, it's been pretty full on.
How does this period compare to last season when obviously you had to deal with relegation? Still had the League Cup bubbling away in the background there as well. But how, in terms of really busyness and trying to put everything into place, how does that compare to this time last season?
Do you know what? I think it felt like it would never be as busy as last year, because last year was literally like starting from scratch, and at least there was a base there from when the season finished there. But obviously, with Callum coming in quite late in the season, it maybe changed a few things. Not too much ultimately, but and I've got to get used to kind of what Callum wants, what he needs, etc. And there's ultimately been a lot of change, and for the better, in my opinion. But compared to last year, it's just been different. It's been different. It's been more focused this year. It's been more, more patience with certain signings and certain situations. And that can be difficult, because patience isn't something that I do well with, as a lot of my friends will know, and the fans. And patience is something that probably the gaffer's not good with either, and he'll openly admit that as well. So, like, that's where, sometimes you have to be patient. But we've been very focused in our kind of search for players, the discussions, the budget, the board, all these kind of things. But yeah, it's been different, busy, but ultimately, yeah, it's been really, really full on this, especially the last, I would say, 4 weeks. It's been proper full on for me personally. But like, as I said, I think it's all for the positive, all for the benefit of the football club, and it's been good. So yeah, I'm sure we'll get into it later, but things are going well.
How did Kenbeath come about to be invited? Because obviously, when we joined up with you last time, this was still a couple of months before, and you're talking about the friendlies, how you were excited to get into those kind of games coming towards the end of that month. How did Kenbeath come to be into the League Cup once again?
Yeah, so it actually, me and the gaffer had a meeting with a player at the club, and we'd kind of said to Dave Allen, listen, do you want to be there? Hopefully the player's going to agree to sign, and if Dave's there, he can do the paperwork. So Dave was kind of in the office doing bits and bobs. We met the player, I think his parents were there, and yeah, we got it agreed. Dave came up, done the paperwork, and then he says, oh, Callum, Colin, can I grab you? And then he was like, we've been invited to take part in the League Cup. Completely out of the blue. Like, as I said, we had our pre-season schedule sorted. I think a week before, I'd just organised the Clyde Bank game, for example, and I think Callum had organised the Musselburgh game. And we were like, so I think Callum was more taken aback than me. Because listen, it's a difficult thing, probably, as a coach and a manager, to kind of hear that and go, well, wow, my complete plans have now changed, because everything was geared towards the Celtic B game, the start of the league campaign, being ready, and this was a huge thing. But listen, it's one that the club couldn't turn down financially and from a prestige point of view. And look, again, I'm sure we'll get into it in a wee bit, but it's one that the players and the staff ultimately wanted to do as well. I don't think we could turn it down. But yeah, it was a big shock, actually, really big shock. And look, I know that there's comments about why this and why that. But listen, the club got asked, we accepted, we move on, we've done well, we've done ourselves proud, and that's it.
Yeah, speaking of that, compared to last season, where obviously you're scrambling to get players in the door for this League Cup campaign, and you took a fair dunt in the competition. I think you lost all four games and now didn't score a goal. Considering now you had Arbroath and Simon last season, and you had them this season, and you well went down to a last minute goal against the Buddies 2 days ago now, how do you feel in terms of performances and expectations that the club has really fielded itself well in terms of these games, considering, like you said, those out of the blue?
Listen, I think they've went above and beyond. I think the performances have been nothing sort of exceptional. I mean, I'm so proud of them. I'm sure Callum is. I'm sure everyone's proud of them. I don't think that any player in that team can give any more to this football club for that period of games. I think if you were to compare it to last year, listen, ultimately we've got better players. I mean, I don't think anybody's going to argue with that. We've got better players. Last year, as I said, it's difficult to always kind of go back to the past because we do want to focus on the now and the future. But in the past, like, we did have to assemble a squad that one weren't ready and two probably not good enough, and that's not on the previous management. That's not even on the players. It's just a fact. But this year, yeah, the boys were great. They've obviously accumulated 2 points. They probably could should have probably got 4, 5, 6 points more if they were better at penalties. And also, you know, we actually probably could have won at Arbroath, sneaked a win there. We could have beat Montrose. But yeah, listen, I think the boys have been terrific, and we've been really, really happy with how the campaigns went. It's been a grueling wee schedule there as well. But again, the good thing for us is that we had the players in the building before the campaign started. A lot of our business was done early, and this is reasons like this is why we do business as early as we did. And I think there's been a lot of work from myself, Callum, and the you know Dave Allen and stuff in getting these players in on board so that they're raring to go that first pre-season friendly slash training session. So we got the core group of the squad in early enough, so that they knew each other. They you know, but it was about bedding them in, and cut, you know, I think Callum's done an unbelievable job so far in doing that.
What's like the chain of command then for making a signing? Who like what's the first kind of protocol in terms of who identifies a target, and then how does it become that you want this player, and how does it become the whole process in terms of getting him into the door?
Yeah, well, it's kind of varied. I mean, it depends. I mean, in my role, you know, I've obviously got what I call a player database of players, and I know players, and as I said, you speak to a lot of people in the game, and you know that this player's available or potentially available. And then, you know, the loan for Heppe, for example, I watched him last year, and I recommended him to Callum, and you know, we then I've been pursuing it with St Johnstone. Callum kind of and did some digging and watched some footage, and he was like, yeah. But ultimately, look, the person that signs off signings is Callum. You know, it's his budget, it's his squad. He can't. We can rec. I can recommend. Even his assistant might recommend. Or, and you know, we can maybe bring somebody in on trial. We can maybe say, let's go and watch a game. Let's go and watch some film. But look, Callum will also have players like Jamie Doherty. He's worked with him before. He was really, really keen to make that happen. You know, Jamie wasn't really somebody that was in our radar, to be honest, but when we knew he was available, Callum was like, no, we need to get this guy in. And that's, he kind of set myself and the club the task of going and getting him, and we did. And that's been great, and he's been a great signing. But, you know, when it comes to recruitment, it's not just one man, it's not just me, it's not just Callum. You know, there is other things. There's the scouting system, and then we've got reports that we look back on, but it's also kind of keeping your ear to the ground about who's available, who's maybe unhappy here, or and obviously looking at free agents and stuff like that. But yeah, a lot of the squad were identified before even Callum came into the job as well. So I was really happy when I sat down with Callum and he says, listen, I've been speaking to XYZ. You know, for example, Ewan McPherson, I sat down with him in end of January, because you can meet and chat to players if they're in the last 6 months of their contract. So Ewan was probably the first person on my list that I wanted to join the club as long as the manager, whomever that would be, agreed. So I sat with Ewan, had a coffee with him, and I think it end of January. And as I said, he didn't sign until May, end of May or something. So, it's not a quick process. It's not like a, hi, do you want to sign for Cowdenbeath? Let's do it. There's a lot of work goes into it. And then I think, there've been numerous conversations after that. And then once Callum took the job, I would say, listen, we've spoken to you, and what do you think? And obviously he has to say, yep, I like him or no, or what's the financials? What's, there's a lot of varying factors, because he has to bring people into the squad that will suit his style of play, will suit, even the group, even somebody's personality. We might not sign somebody based on certain things, his location in terms of what he's doing for work, all these kind of variables come into play for recruitment. So yeah, it's a mix of probably myself, Callum, Parky, and Kev, really, probably the four of us kind of really working as hard as possible to bring boys in. And I think we've done an exceptional job so far, to be honest.
Is that part of the bonus having Callum as well, because he's managed down the leagues, that he obviously you've seen these players, perhaps maybe hidden gems as such that he could maybe call upon or recall, like, but this guy's maybe here and he was doing such a job, he can maybe take a step up the league. And not that it was a hindrance under Maurice Ross, but maybe Maurice Ross's recruitment base in terms of his contacts were maybe a bit higher than at least the Scotland League
Sure.
and below.
Well, yeah, I think that's why one of the reasons that Callum got the job, apart from the fact he's always been successful in every club he's been at. But he's, yeah, that is a benefit, especially to me, because if I mention a player to Callum, he tends to know who they are or he's seen them play. And if I say, look, I've heard such and such could be available, this is what's going to cost, he'll go, yep, I think that's good. Or he'll say, no, I don't fancy him. Which is fine as well, and then you just kind of put a wee black mark under it, But yeah, I think with the previous manager who openly admitted he didn't know the level, he would probably lean on maybe his assistant manager Colin and myself to kind of help on the recruitment front. Rightly or wrongly, we probably got a few wrong, but I think we've got a few right. But like that same thing might happen again this year, but I think we genuinely have had a more focused search. We've really identified certain players for certain positions with certain characteristics, on how Callum wants to play and how Callum wants his players to be, that we've done very, very well in that regard. So yeah, I think that's it. I think the loan market's something that, again, both me and Callum spend a lot of time on. Hopefully, I don't know when this episode's going out, but there might be something happening in the next couple of days for a loan player. And that's been about 8 weeks. I've had about, I would say, 10 conversations with the club, an agent, the player, the gaffer. And that's hopefully going to start coming to fruition within the next 48 hours. But never say never, it could fall through. So I'd rather wait until that's sorted. But
Is that the difficulty at, I suppose, any lower league than the top flight, that they're waiting for their squad to settle, maybe get targets in, and like you said, you're waiting around for 2 months for this potential loan player to come in, and it's a bit of a struggle in a sense, like you don't know if you've got them over the line, you think it's possibly there, but at the last minute it might fall to pieces.
Well, the biggest concern for me was Heppe. I mean, Craig Hepburn, who, it's just a wee shout out to Heppe. I genuinely believe that he is destined for an unbelievable future in the game. There's something about the kid that just screams he's going to be a top professional football player and have a top career. Not just the saves he's making in games, but like his attitude, his aura, his calm, his. He's a good size, like great boy as well. But Heppe, I was surprised we got him so early. And I was speaking to Gus McPherson, who's kind of head of football at St Johnstone, and I didn't think it was going to happen, but he says, yeah, it can happen. And then there's a wee span in the works where one of their goalies got injured, and then it was like literally a day before we were due to sign him. And I was like, oh God, this is. But that's football. Like somebody can get injured at training, and then actually, no, you can't get them. But we worked on it, and he says, no, let's just do it. But that's why he didn't play the first pre-season friendly against Steny, which wasn't ideal. He needed him for a kind of their own friendly just as a backup. So we allowed that, even though he'd technically signed with us. And again, that's just a relationship thing. You know, you try and do them a favor because they've given you their trust in their player with you. But yeah, there's always the variables. I think, yeah, Premier League teams tend to kind of leave their loans a little bit later because they need to kind of bring players in, and they'll probably leave their younger lads in and around the kind of bench squad. And then once they bring in two, three, four players, which tends to happen usually mid-August, isn't it? Once the season started, more players become available. But our squad's pretty much done. Probably maybe one or two more, maybe one going out potentially in the opposite direction on loan. But yeah, we're really happy with the squad. But we're constantly looking like it's not. We're never going to sit still. Like, it's not like we've got a squad, that's fine, let's just go into next year and next season and then see what happens. Like, recruitment literally is every day. So that process doesn't happen. It doesn't mean we can sign somebody like in a month's time, but you constantly kind of keep watching players and keeping your eye on certain things. And if the budget allows, then we'll try and do, if it's going to mean a better team, then we'll try and do it.
You spoke highly of Hepburn there, and obviously I think he was man of the match on Tuesday against St Mirren there. I suppose the question that threw up was Danny Farrell. Obviously he was a fan favourite last season, very popular amongst the squad. Every time I seen him, he didn't put a finger wrong. As such, he signed a contract extension towards, I think, just after the first time you jumped on with us. Then he's gone to Whitburn. Obviously they're a club on the rise. They're back-to-back champions in the East of Scotland League. What was the kind of situation there? Was it the fact that Hebburn was just so good that he had to be number one, that Danny Farrell's opportunities were going to be limited?
Again, I think there's a few variables, you know, and people, some, you know, without going into too much detail, a lot of it is budgetly, you know, and we've got a budget, we have to stick to it, and we've got to make tough decisions. So both, and you know, that those tough decisions ultimately are Callum's, you know, because he's got to utilize his budget the very, very best he can. And as I said, I think, you know, we moved Scott Sinclair on, and I think he was a fan favourite. I think he would have done well, but you know, that was a tough decision, but we did it so that we can do other things. Danny, great goalkeeper, great player. I think he improved significantly, and we signed him on an extension because we genuinely believed that he was going to be part of things for the season ahead. What happened was I got offered a lad on trial, the lad Josh. I spoke to Callum and says, "Listen, the lad, I've watched him once for Broxburn. I thought he was good. We were looking for a number two, sorry, not number two, but looking to bring in another goalkeeper. Sorry, do you mind if we bring him in?" And Callum agreed, and then Josh done well, and then Heppy came up, and then you know I've mentioned Heppy, and you know once Heppy was available, it was like, well, Danny's probably not going to play week in, week out. And again, from a financial budgeting point of view, you have to review that because certain players are on certain money, and you know, you just have to kind of play around with that a little bit. So it was nothing really to do with Danny's performances or his personality or his application. It was probably more a financial thing, and obviously we wanted to kind of bring Josh in and Pepe. And it's say so that's. These are the tough decisions that managers have got to make, and even though he's a fan's favourite, look, Daniel do great at Whitburn. Their manager phoned me well before they signed him, actually wanting him, and I says no initially, and they were willing to maybe do some stuff on loan or permanent, and at the time we didn't want to move Danny on, but then that changes. You know, literally, I'm not exaggerating, 48 hours in football is a long, long time. Everything can change so quickly. You know, a player in favour might not be in favour. A player that's out of favour will get back in and he's been training good and he's now starting every week. You know, I've seen it happen before. So, yeah, it's disappointing, but Danny was good about it. He understood the situation. He wasn't what he knows that the club's been good to him. He's been good for us. We've been good for him. The fans liked him. He did pass on messages to me to say, look, thank the boys, especially the Junction boys, who I know that he had a good night out once or twice with. And it's like the Lovie situation as well. You know, we didn't want to lose boys like Lovie. They're good lads and they, you know, they're good players. But as I said, if we want to kind of go in a certain direction, we'd have to make difficult decisions.
I think the other one, Aaron was talking about there was Sam Young got loaned out to East Stanshire, obviously, Swiftius last season. Was there an option to bring him back, or do you feel that you're maybe settled in that situation in terms of you had the kind of young centre backs, but you never had the experienced centre back until you brought in Dougie Hill back?
It's quite funny because I bumped into Sam the other day at a friendly, and I was speaking to him. He's a great boy, and no, there was still interest there. You know, Callum likes him as a player, but when he was available, there actually, being brutally honest, there wasn't money available to sign him in the budget. We needed players to move on, and so again, it's a timing issue. We don't have money in the budget. I can't sign a player, and neither can Callum. We had two centre backs. We had Robbie that can play there as well. But I think everybody can see that Robbie is really more, is probably needed more in the centre of the pitch now. Maybe we initially thought that he would play more centre half, but I think we can see that he's needed more in the centre of the pitch because he's been exceptional in there and he's our captain. And that moved us on to signing Dougie Hill on a short term deal. And let you know, we'll hopefully. Hopefully, kind of move things along with him over the next few days as well. So no, there was interest there for Sam. It was just a timing issue. I know that Sam, you know, is really highly regarded with Dunfermline, but he played 11 games for us, was really good, and I think he'd be a really good signer for the Shire, especially on that pitch. You know, because he handles the ball really, really well, so you'll probably enjoy it more on the Shire's pitch than our pitch, to be honest, but. Again, I was talking to him and he had nothing but good things to say about the club. But no, it wasn't that we weren't interested and we didn't think he was good enough to come into the team or anything like that. It was just simply, you know, we're looking at maybe, as you say, maybe somebody more experienced for when the money became available. And also at the time, we actually didn't have the money available.
And Dan, what moving to East Staunshire as well, was that just another fact that it was an offer too good to turn down?
I think with any when any new manager comes in as well, he's got a style of play, he's got certain things, and I think the two of them, the manager and the player, had a very frank conversation. Again, nothing on the guy. Dan's brilliant. Again, I absolutely love the guy. He's very, very funny, and he's a good football player. But he wouldn't have played in Callum's team, and I think the way we play the game and what we've been seeing, people can understand why. That's not a slight on Dan. He'll be brilliant for East Stirling. He'll be brilliant for teams that want to play to suit his skill set. And we brought him to the club based on his skill set because the previous manager wanted to utilise that, but the new manager doesn't. So, you know, we got a good offer. We accepted it. That money effectively went into the signing of Jamie Doherty, and you know, Dan's wages were kind of put back into the budget as well. So. Again, it's just a kind of bit moving numbers around and stuff like that. But again, it's nothing that Dan done. You know, it's nothing like he's not like he was a bad trainer or a bad egg or anything like that. Any players leaving the building haven't been like that, actually, to be honest.
I think the only other question mark about players moving out would be Andy Black, who moved out in the last few days. What was
Yeah.
the kind of situation with him moving on?
Blackie, listen, he came to us and we did really well to get him in. We had really high hopes and then he got injured like his first game and it was so disappointing and he was disappointed as well. He's had a tough time of it with injuries. And then once we came back pre-season again, you know, in terms of the players that we brought in, you know, Matty McDonald, Aidan, Robbie, Lucas Berry's been playing well, Josh Jack, a lot of competition for places. And it's one of these ones where you go, listen, I don't think there'll be any secret that Andy's played at a very, very good level. So financially, we may need to look at this. You know, we can't really afford to have an Andy Black on our books not playing games of football for us. So we had a really honest and frank conversation with him. And again, he reacted in the way that I would expect. You know, he was really kind of down about the fact he was going to leave because he could see that the club was going in the right direction, but he accepted that that's football. You know, again, that these things happen, And the club had been good to him as well. You know, the club had been really good to him in the past, and he accepted to kind of move on. And that, again, that helps us potentially do some other things with the squad moving forward. But yeah, Andy will be an asset for somebody else. I'm pretty certain of that. He goes with our best wishes, and you know, hopefully you can get yourself fit and playing games, you know, because we never got to see the best of him apart from the Berwick game. And even then, I don't think he was fully fit. But he was exceptional that day. So it's disappointing, but you know, as I said, these things happen in football.
Just a few follow-ups, I suppose, then. Dougie Hill, is there an option or a discussion to be had about him extending his stay with the club?
Yeah, no, we're chatting to Dougie. I've known Dougie since he was under Mixu. He was at my wedding in last August, and I was trying to get him, but he was a player assistant at Kelty. But he kind of stopped playing because, you know, he was wanting to focus on the coaching, and then I think actually he misses the bug of playing. And then, you know, to be fair to Dougie, he's came in and played 3 games in 6 days, and he'll tell you himself, for 3 months he's been sitting on the couch. He's not done any pre-season. So to come in against that level of opposition and play the way he's played and led by example, I think everybody can see what an absolute asset he is to the club. So because of that and his performances and his attitude, you know, the club would love to try and extend it. And you know, we're talking to him just now. So hopefully we'll come up with good news. But again, it boils down to the same old thing, doesn't it? It boils down to money. And you know, I'd be hopeful of getting it done. Same with Andy Roddin, who I think's been exceptional since coming in as well. Probably just we but kind of went under the radar because of Dougie and other people. But you know, Andy's been brilliant, really, really good. And I think he just wants to really play games now. You know, he's been at Clyde, he's been at Bonnyrigg last year. He probably didn't get a successful run of games. But he's a talented, talented lad, and we're hoping to kind of try and get him signed up as well.
I suppose the final one is when you talked about budgets for like loan players, obviously not asking for pounds and pence, of course, but does that mean you have to pay a fee to the club that you get a player for, or is it a case that you have to subsidise a portion of their wages? Is that really what it comes down to when you talk about budgets for loan players?
Basically, I think the days of getting loans for free are pretty much over. It does happen. But as I said, when we're on a more focused search for certain players, if the clubs know you're phoning about a certain player, they're going to try and take advantage of that by saying, well, you've got to pay some of the wages. If you're going to phone and say, I'm looking for a striker, who have you got? To be honest, I don't think that's good recruitment because you're basically saying, I'll just take anybody. That's not what we're trying to do anymore. We're trying to really be focused on who we want to bring in. And that might come with a cost. And if it's a cost we can bear, great. And if it's not, then we move on. But yeah, it's mainly probably subsidizing wages. But to be honest, if you're taking Premier League kids, you're not covering a huge amount of their wages. I think it's just a contribution. But the Premier League clubs, they want their players to get the best environment, and they just want their players playing football. The worst thing that can happen is we bring players in and they don't play at all. It sours the relationship with that club. But look, the player's ultimately responsible as well because he's got to train hard, got to work hard, he's got to listen to instruction, and he's got to play well. So it's not like you bring in a loan player and he automatically plays. I mean, obviously Heppes came in, and I think we can all agree he deserves to keep playing, you know. But in the past, if somebody wasn't playing quite well, then the manager will quite rightly not play him, you know. So, but no, financially it basically is down to contribution towards wages. Some clubs will want too much, some clubs it's reasonable, and that's where, you know, you try and sell Cowdenbeath Football Club and what we can offer rather than the financial contribution we can make, because other clubs can probably pay more than us. Certainly when our budget's now pretty much done. So yeah, we're trying to kind of be creative with how we sell it, and you know, I'm a sales manager at trade, so I like to think that I try and do my best with that side of things. So, I mean, just in terms of the players incoming, the players, you know, outgoing as well, it's just my thanks to the outgoing players first and foremost, because I think the boys that went out and the boys that did get released, and like they tried their best and they did well for the club. And the ones that were probably hardest were the boys that we moved on maybe in the last few weeks, like your Dannys and your Dans and what have you, because they were actually part of a team that was becoming better, and they were significant reasons why. So those were difficult because I class them as friends as well. Somebody once says don't get too close to players, but it's quite difficult because you spend a lot of time with them, and you maybe have a couple of beers with them and stuff like that, and like they're good lads, they're really good lads. But the players that are coming in, they probably shocked me how well they've done, if I'm honest, if I'm brutally honest. And again, I'll go back to it. I actually think it's down to the manager as well. I think he's set them up to go be attacking. I mean, I knew Callum wanted to be that way anyway, but the players he's brought in and we've brought in to suit his style so far has been exceptional. And I think there's not been a fear within them. They actually kind of, nobody was like, oh no, we're playing our both on a Wednesday night. Nah, bugger that. We're going to go, we're going to take it to them, and we're going to try and win the game. And I think everybody could see that. Down to nine men, and we had three people in the box trying to score a winner. Like, it's just a pleasure to watch. It's great to see, and the heart and the fit. I think the fitness levels have been incredible as well. To go play three games in 6 days against a level of opposition and still be running and still be pushing for winners and still, I honestly take my hat off to them. I'm very proud of them.
The league campaign starts against the Celtic B and Airdrie on Saturday. What do you think the expectations of Kenby are for the season? Is it improvement? Is it challenging? Where do you think it would be?
I think the gaffer will probably keep our own internal ambitions within the dressing room. I think that's the best thing, because we don't want to come out and make bold statements like we're going to be X, because it bites you in the bum, doesn't it? I made a statement on your last podcast or a couple of podcasts by saying, look, I know who we're trying to bring in, I know what we're trying to do, we will be better. And I think everybody knows we're going to be better this year. We're going to finish higher in this league. Of that, I've got zero doubt. But that's not good enough for this club. This club need to be, in my opinion, challenging at the top end of the league with a clear structure and plan in place to eventually get back to the SPFL. That was the case last year. Now, it didn't go to plan, but there was still a plan in place to get there. And I always said it was 2 or 3 years' time. And obviously, we're now a year into it. I still believe, look, the chairman might not be happy with me saying it, but this is my own opinion. I think if we can finish top six this year, that would be an incredible achievement, because we've went from a team 15th, new manager, new players, and if we can achieve that, along with maybe a good Scottish Cup run, we've done well in the League Cup, that would be a successful season. If we can go beyond that, great. I mean, I'm sure, Callum, we all want to win the league, let's be honest. You want to finish first. You don't go into competitions wanting to fail, but got to be realistic. There's teams paying a hell of a lot of money for very, very good players in this league. But we're confident, we're quietly confident that the boys that we've assembled will do very well this year. And then if we don't go up this year, then we'll certainly be in a better place next year to give it another good crack. Of that, I've got no doubt. But yeah, a lot of these are my own opinion, not necessarily the club's opinion, but I think a lot of them will be a lot of parallels and stuff for
Rangers B pulled out. Do you think the B team in the lower leagues is kind of slowly dying out at this moment in time?
that. I honestly don't know. Listen, there's a big. I don't think it's dying out, because obviously you've seen that there was the big push for the Conference League. So if anything, they're actually trying to facilitate it at a higher level. But the in terms of Rangers B pulling out, to me, from afar, it looks like they're basically just says, look, they're not agreeing with the way things are going, so we'll pull out. And listen, that's fine, because Rangers B are a good team, they're a very good team. It hits us a wee bit financially. Not, I think, I don't know the exact figure, but it does mean a wee tiny hit for all the clubs, not just ours. But I think B teams are potentially here to stay, if I'm honest. Unless something dramatic happens, B teams might get pushed up to a conference thing or some kind of league. I really don't know, to be honest. I kind of just sit in the background and see what develops. If we have to play Celtic B, Rangers B, then so be it. We'll prepare accordingly and we'll go and try and beat them. You know, like we will this Saturday against Celtic.
So there's no friendly fixtures at Central Park. Obviously, we just talked about how it was truncated in terms of there was no Musselburgh game and no Clydebank game towards the end of that because of the League Cup. Was that really because we were talking about the last time we were at Central Park that the ground was just getting laid? Was that probably to give the ground the best opportunity to sell as much as possible?
Yeah, I mean it's quite simple. I think we can all see that June was one of the driest, hottest months. One of the hottest months that we've had in years in Scotland. So we didn't get a drop of rain. So we put all the kind of legwork into getting the pitch right, and then no rain came. So like we had a lot of conversations with the staff, you know, and they were really like, "Oh my God, this is no good," because the pitch wasn't great, if I'm honest. And then, to be fair, a lot of the groundwork had been done. We just needed rain, so we made the decision. Listen, we're gonna try and just leave the pitch as long as possible, to get the rain and then get it up to speed for the League Cup campaign, which I think you can see it has been. It's actually incredible. The pitch is looking really, really good, by the way. So fair play to the groundsman and fair play to Tom, who's done a lot of work on it. And I noticed that there was boys volunteers out watering it during that June period. You know, and if it wasn't for them, you know, the pitch wouldn't have been the state it was. So again, that'll please Callum and the players, because players talk. You know, the historically Cowdenbeath's got a bad name for having a bad pitch. So you know, that could be the difference in signing a player or not, believe it or not.
What's the,
So.
I suppose just a quick aside there, what's the kind of, not the worst excuse as such, but what's kind of like the most unusual reason you've heard for a player not committing to your club?
Oh God, I've had a few like. I think it's probably one. It's either location or it's the pitch. It's basically the pitch, that's the biggest issue that we've got in selling the club to the players we're bringing in, because they all want to play on a good pitch. They all want to kind of be able to know they can pass the ball, because they're going to be playing on it 50% of the league campaign. So it's not like it's just a one-off or twice a season. So when we brought in the players like Zach Butterworth and Ewan and other boys, Matty McDonald, like they're good football players. They want to play on a good pitch. So we did say, listen, we've spent some money on the pitch, which we have done, and then we signed them and they came in and you know they're there with the scarves, and then it's like they're going out to the pitch and I'm like, don't go out in the pitch yet, please don't. And Callum's looking at me as if to say, don't let them out in the pitch. And because it wasn't great. And you could see him kind of looking like, oh God, what have I done? But now the rains came and they've worked on it. They can see that we're trying to do the right things. And so I was actually very happy once all that rain started coming, all that thunder and lightning. But in terms of excuses, yeah, I would say pitch is probably the main thing. Can't think of anything off the top of my head why. Certain, I mean, let's be honest, it's probably down to money as well. Money is the biggest one out of them all, isn't it? So, and then probably location, or I can't make training. I spoke to one guy, a centre back, and he was like, well, I didn't leave work until I think it was like 6 o'clock. And because of where he was based, or what, he wouldn't make training one of the two sessions for the start. So, you know, that's not ideal. So that kind of put paid to that. But these are all the difficult things. Like, just even that's what I was saying to you earlier, a person's job can potentially dictate whether you can sign them or not. So, yeah.
Just in terms of like, I suppose your job and your role, like in a day, in a just a normal day, a normal week as such, when you're not run off your feet trying to make transfers and make contacts, I suppose your interactions within the club, what would say Monday morning through to a Friday evening, what would your normal week be like involved with Cowdenbeath?
There's no normal day, mate. There's no. I mean, today, for example, has been mental. Like, honestly, I'm actually supposed to be on holiday, and I've been with my daughter today, trying to spend some time with her. But, so just as an example, The person I speak to the most is the manager, Callum. You know, we'll be on the phone probably three, four, five times a day. And then Dave Allen, because the three of us probably work in a wee kind of group in terms of what we need to get done. And, you know, Dave's good in terms of the contracts, things, even match day things like comps, like literally every little thing. I'm really fortunate that like the kit situation, Phil and Dale take a lot of that burden now that us probably still had a wee hand in the past. They've been brilliant in dealing with that. But I am normal, and then obviously the chairman. I speak to the chairman probably every second day, third day, just about things, and I'm sure Callum does as well. So it's really tight knit, and it's constant conversations, you know, in terms of certain things, especially at this time. But I don't expect it to be as full on like in October, November, because it will just be, as I say, to be training games, and the squad's there. Like, but this pre-season was mental. But today, for example, God, what have I done today? We're speaking to a couple of clubs about a player. I spoke to a player that maybe going to be moving on loan. I spoke to him, spoke to Callum about it, spoke to two clubs on it today. We're hoping to bring one in on loan, so I spoke to that club today. I've also put an inquiry into an SPL club today for a striker on loan. And again, around all those conversations, I've got to speak to Callum, and I've got, you know, speak to Dave, and so you've got to do those as well. Player sponsors, I've been getting messages for some people, or can I sponsor this player? And it's not really my domain, but I'll say, well, speak to Margaret, I'll speak to Margaret, and she'll sort the player sponsor. People asking, oh, can such and such be a mascot? And again, they come to me, which is fine, like I've not got a problem with it. And then I'll say, well, yep, fine. So I'm organizing that. I'll email the club and say, this boy's going to be a mascot, this is the time to be there, blah, 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 blah. And then you've got the bigger stuff like, as I said, the transfers and, you know, the players and paperwork and all that kind of stuff. Training. I mean, training's tonight, but I'm giving training a miss tonight to do this podcast. That's my excuse for getting out of training tonight. But, you know, maybe like Callum will probably phone me tonight and let me know how training went, probably say look X, like probably talk about Doogie and Andy and a few other things. And yeah, but me and Callum speak constantly actually. Probably speak to him more than I do my wife. And I think Callum speaks to me more than his wife as well. So we match made in heaven.
What about some of the other characters behind the scenes that maybe fans don't see or interact with too often? Who's really keeping this club running on a day-to-day basis that you want to give some credit to?
Listen, I've said it before, and I know a lot of people say it, all the directors, they run the club and that, but and they do, clearly they do. But yeah, if these people didn't work here, trust me, there would be no club. I absolutely guarantee that. There would be a club, but not in the same way that we know it. So your Dave Allen, your Toms, your Margaret's, Craig Scott's, I'm probably going to forget somebody, so I'll get an abuse now. Yolanda, like everybody. And then you've obviously got the chairman who's kind of the figurehead of the club. But then you've got people, the volunteers, you know, you've got your Scotty Gallagher's, Jimmy Skeys doing the 50-50, brilliant, like been there for years, care. Andy Mullen does the programme, cares. There's a lot of people care about this club. And in terms of like the staff and stuff like that, you know, the characters, you know, Tam, our physio, flipping heck, he's a character. The boys like him, the players like him. And it's important like that they can hear a laugh and take the mickey, and Tam takes the mickey out of them. And we've got a fine system, for example, and I got fined for a social media post for praising the players. And I'm like, for fuck's sake, I'm all right to swear, eh?
Oh yeah, of course I am, of course.
I was like, for fuck's sake, how am I getting fined for actually praising you boys? I says, you know what? The next one is I'm going to say how you're fucking useless for 12 yards. But I'd probably get fined for that as well. So, look, you've got to have thick skin in a changing room. Like, you've just got to have thick skin. Phil, the kit man, Dale, that helps as well. You know, the boy that does the camera, Ross Cameron, does all the social media stuff. Like, you know, I'm messaging Ross at 10 at night. Oh, can we put this out? Like, he's had work that day. He's got his own stuff going on. Like, everybody's busy, but we're all trying to muck in, and and we can all get a wee bit touchy sometimes. I'm probably the world's worst, to be honest. But do you know what? It's all for the betterment of the football club and trying to make it run. And for me, Dave Allen, I mean, the amount of work that boy does, I don't know how he's still married, if I'm honest. But been great. And then obviously you've got your staff like Parky and Kev, the assistant manager, who are really, really good with the boys in terms of the coaching. Probably take a, the three of them with Callum as well. They work really, really well together, and they're good with the boys behind the scenes as well. So, nah, look, listen, it's a really harmonious place now, because again, we've been doing really well in the League Cup campaign. So all we kind of want to see now is foundations are there, like the opportunities are there. There's no excuses anymore for me. Like, I think we've built a good team. We've got a good staff. The fans are coming back. They're enthused. We've got a great manager who's changed the way we play, and it's got good players. And now we just need to win games of football, really, and hopefully that'll happen.
How do you feel in a match day? Obviously, the players go through their own routines, management will do the same, but how do you feel sitting in the
Terrible.
stands?
Terrible. Hate it. Absolutely hate match day. To be honest, I really struggled with it last year. Really, really, really struggled. I felt like I was at fault. I felt like I really took it home with me as well. And to be fair, it was actually Morris that used to pick me up. It wasn't the other way around. I used to go home, and I really, really struggled, especially with the social media side, because I knew the amount of work that was going in, and I knew how much work I was putting in. I knew how much the players were putting in, and to see all the negativity, it was really difficult for me, because a lot of the negativity was actually from boys that I know and friends, and that's really tough. And trying to explain things away, I really, really struggled with it. And my missus, she kind of knows to kind of leave me alone on a Saturday, pretty much. So I dread to think what it's like for a manager. Because obviously they're probably 100 times worse for them. But I really, really struggled with it last year. But I've managed to kind of probably just take less, brunt of it. At the end of the day, it's the manager and the player's job to win games of football. And I think they will do that this year for sure. But I don't really enjoy games as much as I used to. But I am really enjoying watching this team play. Like, I'm actually really excited. Like, when I come to a game now, I'm excited, whereas maybe previously I was like, oh, apprehensive, because again, there was more pressure. I really felt under pressure, even though I shouldn't, because it's not like my job. Like, I'm not a manager, my job's not on the line or anything like that. But it was difficult, and I think this year I'm coming into games really excited to see what Callum and the boys are going to do. And aye, no, it's great actually. It's been brilliant.
Do you enjoy wins then, or is it more of a relief at the end of the final whistle on a Saturday?
Last year when we won, which wasn't as much as we'd like, I really enjoyed them. Probably too much. I would go and sink a couple of bottles of red wine at night, but that was a relief. Probably that was the relief coming out in me. When we lost, I would have a couple of bottles of red wine. But nah, I think this year it's a case of just no get too high, no getting too low, trying to be as calm as possible. Because look, we've got good players, but like, we're going to win every game? Probably not. We'll try and win every game. And I just ultimately being more kind of calm in the position that I know that we've done everything we can do. Like, we have, like, we've done good things so far this year, and I think I'm quite at ease with that situation. But that doesn't mean to say the pressure's not on. Like, if we lose the first 8 games, then aye, it's back to being fucking in a bad place. But I don't think that'll be the case. Well, I hope not, anyway.
Yeah, I suppose moving on to kind of the off field stuff, and I know this is not your point of call, you're talking about mascots and stuff like that. Kenilworth Independent Sports Society, they've unveiled their logo on their social media pages. Is it going to be a case that they're going to be putting regular updates through the monthly newsletter on the site about how much is raised, how people can get involved, what's going to happen with that kind of, but I guess
Yeah.
it's a community benefits site now, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, as I say, I'm not at the forefront of it. I'm actually a member of it. I'm just setting my standing order. That was one of the things I did today as well. But yeah, I mean, you can see after the St. Mirren game, I think they came out with a post right after it because look, the feel good factor's there. Things are going well, so that's when we need more and more people. I think we've had an uptake, and the uptake's been good, but it's maybe not as it needs to hit certain numbers that we want. And we're not quite there yet, but it's been a great start, to be honest. I know that season ticket sales are good. Like the player sponsorships are sold out. Like the fans are brilliant. Like the fans are doing their bit. The directors are doing their bit. The staff, the player, like we're all doing our bit now, and that's great. But in terms of the support of society, the main thing for us is to keep, as you say, communication going. And I think there's Brian, there's Gordon, there's some other people that are going to be leading the charge on that, and I'm sure that they'll kind of update people as much as possible.
And I suppose as we wind down here, is there any final thoughts that you want to put forward towards the fans that are listening?
Not really. Well, apart from the obvious, which is I've just pointed out, like they've backed the club, they've put their hand in their pocket by buying season tickets, merchandise, turning up to games, keep showing your appreciation. I did have one thing to ask the fans. The players are always constantly looking to clap the fans, but the fans sometimes leave before the players can get a chance. So if they can even, especially away games, just an extra 2 or 3 minutes stay behind so that the players can show their appreciation, they do want to do it. I just noticed at Forfar and Arbroath, everybody left. So it was difficult. But no, I think the fans have been terrific. And now it's probably up to us now to maybe give something back to them. It's up to the players, it's up to the manager and stuff like that to say, look, yous have done right by us, so let's go and win games and let's go and try and be as successful as we can be, and let's try and get this club back to where it should be.
Well, thank you for the time, Colin, as ever. I'm sure we'll talk down the road at some point.
No bother. I'd like, obviously, it'd be good to kind of do more of these just to keep the fans updated because I think it's important. I think it's good to be transparent. Because it's their club, and I think they deserve to know what's going on as much as we can say things. So yeah, no, thanks very much, and thanks to everybody that's listening as well.
And like, if you are listening, Colin's open to asking all like any kind type of question. Don't be shy in terms of if you wanted to ask a question, he's more than willing to field it. But no, but thanks again, Colin, for your time. And yes, we'll
Thanks
talk
again,
about it.
Michael. Thanks again, mate. Cheers.